This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another episode of Extreme Resurrection. I'm James Gruenberg. Alongside with me is Michael Cook. Mike, how are you doing?
Doing good. Been a nice cold weekend here in New England. We had the, I don't know what you guys got, but we missed the heavy ice storm, but we got a little bit of it Friday night.
Yeah, the same with us. We got the later in the evening. It was like when the ice was hitting. So, you know, not too bad on our end either, you know, down here, like, you know, south or like northwest. So, you know, not that bad.
No, that's good.
No, it wasn't that bad at all. So, Mike, before we dive into our first episode of ECW from November 7th, we have the pay-per-view Cyber Sunday, and it was voting for Umaga's Intercontinental Championship. Who was going to win that one? It was between Chris Benoit, Kane, and the Sandman, and surprisingly, the Sandman wins, but he doesn't win the match with Umaga at Cyber Sunday. Umaga retains the Intercontinental title. But were you surprised that Sandman actually won the votes?
I thought it was Kane.
Oh, no, I think it was. Oh, I thought the Sandman did.
No, it was Kane.
Oh, my mistake.
I was shocked that Benoit didn't win.
Oh, my bad. I thought it was actually the Sandman who won, but no.
Let me look this up now. Yeah,
Kane
had 49%, Sandman had 28%, and Benoit had only 23%.
I think maybe they were trying to protect Benoit. My mistake, folks. Kane actually did it, but he does not beat Umaga for the Intercontinental Championship. No.
But definitely I love to this day Armando Estrada.
Yeah, he'll turn up in ECW too along the way as well. Mm-hmm. But Mike, do you remember the main event? Because also, like, the Big Show is in the main event. He does not have to put his ECW title on the line, but it was a triple threat match, and the fans got to vote for which title they wanted on the line in the triple threat match. And it was King Booker's World Heavyweight title. I thought, oh man, are they gonna put the belt on Cena? Are they gonna do it with the Big Show? I logged on to WWE.com. The night after that pay-per-view, all I saw was Kevin Federline himself giving John Cena the "you can't see me," and my jaw dropped, because keep in mind, John Cena gave Kevin Federline the attitude adjustment, or the FU at the time. And I could not believe that Kevin Federline cost John Cena that match.
Well, I know that Bruce Pritchard has said many times that they did it mostly in hope to get Britney Spears. And it was basically Cena that was all for it, you know, to try to get Federline in. And as we see later, you know, it sets up for New Year's Day and stuff. But, I mean, yeah, it was shocking. But, I mean, it was a good match overall, you know, and definitely this Cyber Sunday was definitely better than the Taboo Tuesday version. And the thing about Cyber Sunday, the biggest thing is when Flair and Piper won the titles.
Yeah, they won it. Didn't they win it from the Spirit Squad? Was that them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they won it from
and they the had Spirit to vote. Squad. And it was between Piper, Rhodes, and Sergeant Slaughter.
I would have went with Dusty Rhodes for an old WCW feel, but Piper was a great selection for Ric Flair, and I was surprised that they went over.
Well, they also try to push, you know, how they try to get the van, you know, they try to push the story. They tried to push it Dusty hard, but Piper ended up winning.
Yeah, I can see that. So, we are on ECW, November 7th, 2006. We're in Moline, I think you say Moline, Illinois, or Moline, Illinois. It's CM Punk versus Mike Knox to kick us off in an Elimination Chamber qualifying match. Mike Knox sends Kelly to the back, which the fans are not pleased with. You know, they want to see Kelly, but Mike Knox, being the jealous boyfriend, sends her to the back. A dropkick by CM Punk. A springboard clothesline by CM Punk. Knox slams Punk into the ring, into the ring post. A backbreaker by Mike Knox. A knee to Mike Knox's face, but that's countered into another backbreaker. It basically just goes into the Uranagi and into the Anaconda Vice Grip. Knox taps out. So your winner is CM Punk. I actually went a star and a quarter on this match. I kind of thought that, you know, CM Punk gave us a good match. And, you know, he tried to wrestle with someone who was really green.
Yeah, I gave it a star and a half. I mean, it is what it is. You know, it was for a spot in the Elimination Chamber, so at least it had some stakes. You know, it's just Knox is starting to get a little old. They really need to move on with him, do something. But it was good for what it was.
Yeah, and also that they do announce that as we it's kind of hard for us to keep up because, you know, like with ECW, because they're being involved in like all the other WWE action as well. We find out that CM Punk and Mike Knox are going to be in opposite sides. Mike Knox is going to be on Edge and Randy Orton's Team RKO team, and CM Punk is going to be with D-Generation X at Survivor Series.
Wasn't that the famous Shawn Michaels go? Who was that?
Yes, it is. So Mike Knox is not doing. Mike Knox is not doing himself any favors at this point.
I mean, it is a good rub for them to be there. So, I mean, it's maybe telling they have high hopes for both. I'm sure McMahon was more high hopes on Knox, you know, just because of his look. And I'm sure it was, you know, people like Patterson and everyone else trying to Punk.
Like it's Paul really. It's Paul Heyman really, like who's boosting up Punk. But as you see, you know, if you shout loud about a certain superstar, Vince is not gonna go with it, but we'll get there. So then we get Elijah Burke and Sylvester Turkai. They debut for ECW. And then Paul Heyman comes to the ring. Paul explains how he cost RVD the match last week, the tag team match with RVD and Hardcore versus the Big Show and Test. Says that Paul Heyman and the Big Show are going to team up against RVD and Hardcore Holly tonight. So that's going to be the main event. And then he announces that for the last spot in the ECW Elimination Chamber, because we know it's Rob Van Dam, The Big Show, CM Punk. Well, we know that Tess is eventually going to get that, get like the fifth spot too. But he announces that for one of the spots, that anyone from Raw, SmackDown, or ECW can sign a contract to compete in the Elimination Chamber. So what did you think about that, Paul Heyman announcing that he's going to have a contract for a certain individual to get into the Elimination Chamber? That could have been anyone from Raw and SmackDown.
As we see what happens, we'll go into it. It becomes a trope that happens quite often. But, at the time, I remember not knowing who at all it would be. Just because everything was still up for grabs at that point. And kind of hoping that it would be a big splash and not someone like Matt Stryker.
Yeah. So then we get a match between Little Guido and Daivari, who comes out with the Great Khali. I thought they got rid of the Muhammad Hassan Arabic music, and they got that, Zimbabwe music for, the Great Khali. But apparently they kept the old Muhammad Hassan theme for Daivari and Great Khali right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Mike? Sorry.
No, I'm just kind of shocked that they went with this.
That they went with the Muhammad Hassan music, or that Daivari's on
ECW? Yeah, that they didn't totally change it.
At least not yet, of course. So, it's Little Guido versus Daivari. Punches by Daivari. A clothesline by Daivari. Guido basically doesn't get anything in. I did like the DDT to finish off Little Guido with. I thought that was an interesting way of doing the DDT. So he does they call it a spike DDT. So it was like a boom. And so Daivari gets the pin on Guido. Mike, I actually went a star on it because I actually like the DDT spot.
Yeah, that I am completely with you. That was the only reason that I gave it a star. It was very clunky. And my guess is they only did it to just keep pushing Khali, since he wasn't going to be part, with the Booker and Cena.
He's not really a part of ECW yet, but I mean, it's just enough to get him on the show and that, that he's still a force as like a heel,
Yeah.
So now we get Tommy Dreamer versus Tess for a spot in the Extreme Elimination Chamber. Back elbows by Tess. A clothesline takes Tommy and Tess to the outside. Tess slams Tommy into the ring post. A sit-down power bomb for only a two count by Tommy Dreamer. A low blow, and then Tess basically hits Tommy with a low blow, a big boot, and a swinging neck breaker by Tess for the win. I went one star on this match. I thought that even though he cheated with a low blow, it's still like a dominant performance by Tess. I like the big boot into that swinging neck breaker. So I went one star on it. What'd you give it, Mike?
I gave it one star. I gave it one star also. And, I just basically said it was just there. I know he's an original Dreamer and stuff, but at this point, you're not looking for him in the main event. They haven't portrayed him at all in anything to get anywhere close.
I don't even think Tommy wants to be in the spotlight anymore. I think he's just there just to push other guys over, or at least try and make everyone like put people over,
Yeah.
So now it's time for our main event already. It is Rob Van Dam and Hardcore Holly versus The Big Show and Paul Heyman. So keep in mind, Mike, we have 5 competitors already for the Extreme Elimination Chamber. As we see that Test has taken the 5th spot, and Paul Heyman has announced that the last spot would be the first come, first serve of whoever signs the contract first. So then, and that's going to take place next week on ECW. So it's Rob Van Dam and Hardcore Holly versus The Big Show and Paul Heyman. RVD and Big Show start off. RVD goes after Paul, but is cut off by Show. Chops into the corner by Big Show. A springboard by RVD. The Riot Squad beats up RVD. A clothesline by The Big Show. Paul slaps RVD, so Paul Heyman getting his licks in, being a slimy little heel manager. RVD gets RVD counters the choke slam into that DDT. I like that spot where you try and choke slam him and he counters it and he gets that DDT in.
Yeah, so it is a pretty good spot.
Yeah. So then the tag to Hardcore Holly, but he turns on Rob Van Dam for a no contest. Like, he just throws the match out, so there's no winner. They just beat up on RVD. I like the Alabama slam onto the chair by Hardcore Holly to RVD. And the Big Show gives Rob Van Dam a big splash. I went a half a star, but I liked where they were going with it. And I liked the little Alabama slam chair spot at the end.
Well, they get it to where they start cheering them. The fans were cheering. I mean, it was really weird. So I'm guessing no one was really expecting it. I mean, I was kind of my first thought is that it was going to be Hardcore Holly in the chamber. You know, and you know how it is when you get close to the chamber, the rumble or something like that, that they just start hitting each other.
So, yeah.
I mean, it would all make sense, but the whole turn, why? And hopefully we find out what, because there's no reason for it at this point.
No, and it seemed that, like, I mean, it's too back and forth-ish. Oh, is he a baby face? Oh, he's a heel now. Oh, man. Like, I mean, Hardcore Holly starts off as like a heel. He has that match and then he gets attacked. So he's out for vengeance against Paul and Tess. Then he just comes back and it's like, why? I mean, you know, the fans were really liking him, and I think he could have had a baby face spot, but then again, like, you're lacklustering in the heels on ECW. So that might have been the reason why, like, we can't have Hardcore be a baby face because we don't have a lot of heels right now. What do you think, Mike? Do you think that makes sense?
Well, they don't really have a lot of anything right now.
I guess not at all.
I mean, you want to look at it, and the people, I mean, look at who's featured. Punk, Knox, Test.
Matt Stryker,
and Big Show.
And
Holly. That's really it. I mean, if you really think about it.
Like the new breed of superstars, you know, like on ECW.
And it's just, I don't know. I mean, what other faces are they really prominently showing?
Punk.
RVD. I mean,
yeah.
Sabu to an extent. But the three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not main event. I mean, he had that quick run, no. But not main event.
Yeah. And he's not on these, like, shows either.
Yeah, I mean, Hardcore Holly was never a main eventer, but I would consider him upper mid-card for quite a bit. I mean, he wasn't god-awful. But he can definitely be. He could have probably held his own for upper mid card for a while.
Yeah, I mean, putting him against RVD is like upper mid card. I mean, you know, like he went one on one with RVD and proved that he could hang with RVD.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So now we are on ECW November 14th, 2006. We're live in Manchester, England. This is part of the as far as the England tour that WWE usually goes on around this time. So we're in Manchester tonight. It is Joey Styles and Elijah Burke as commentators. Taz, they said that Taz had knee surgery. I mean, he might have had knee surgery, but I think that it was just that, like, you know, Taz didn't want to go overseas, but that's just me. But I think Taz might have had knee surgery. What do you think, Mike?
I don't know. I'm looking at it right now. I mean, I can't find anything right now. But, I mean, I just, my first thought, you know, you're thinking that he just didn't want to go overseas or couldn't go overseas.
Yeah. But, I mean, they couldn't get the King. But, I mean, you know, the King didn't really like ECW at all. I mean, you know, Elijah Burke, I guess. Okay, it's like it's Elijah Burke.
Oh, he did. Not really... Yep. Nope, looking it up, Taz really did have knee surgery.
Alrighty then. So Taz is out because he had to have knee surgery. Elijah Burke is replacing Taz for this. Hopefully, I don't know if it's for like 1 week, so I didn't really get into that far. Big Show and Paul Heyman come to the ring. Paul tells the fans that RVD is not here tonight due to last week's actions by Hardcore Holly and slamming him into the chair. And he has the contract for someone to sign to be the last entrant in the Elimination Chamber. Hardcore Holly is seen in the back walking to the ring, but he is ambushed by Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley comes down to the ring and Big Show meets him, but Big Show is met by a spear from Bobby Lashley. I like this. I like the spear that he took down the Big Show. What'd you think of that, Mike?
It was sick, and it's good because this was the name you needed. This was a name, a big name. I mean, I know it's not ECW original, but Lashley was starting to come up big, you know, around this time, and I think it was a good name, good person to put there.
Yeah, and Bobby Lashley isn't like really upper card yet. Like he was a mid-carder. I mean, he was the United States champion for a really long time. You know, defeating JBL back in 06 in May. And so I think this is what ECW needed as a flair, you know, for like a big baby face too, like, you know, to help ECW.
Yeah, and he looks like a star.
Mm-hmm. So, Bobby Lashley signs the contract, making him the last entrant into the Elimination Chamber. So it's going to be Bobby Lashley, Test, Rob Van Dam, Big Show, Sabu. Who's the other? Oh, man. And CM Punk, yes. I blanked out for a second. Those are the six entrants into the Elimination Chamber. It's a pretty good, I think it's going to be a pretty good Elimination Chamber match, you know, for who we have in there.
Yes, and as we will discuss next month, a lot of things with that chamber.
A lot of things. So then backstage, you know, Big Show is asking Paul, how can you let this happen? You know, like, why is it Bobby Lashley? You should have just put Hardcore Holly into the Elimination Chamber, but Paul didn't. He didn't listen. So then Paul Heyman announces that tonight it's going to be Hardcore Holly versus Bobby Lashley tonight as the ECW main event. I think that's a great, that's a good main event. You know, like two roughhousers going at it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure like they loved it. You know, they could be very stiff and not really hurt each other.
Mm-hmm. So again, we get CM Punk versus Mike Knox again. Kicks to start off and a backdrop to Knox. CM Punk hits Mike Knox in the Kelly. But so CM Punk basically just checks on Kelly and Mike doesn't do anything. Mike just attacks CM Punk. It seems that they're really trying to push this whole Kelly turn where like she really likes CM Punk, but she's still with Mike Knox. I don't know what you thought about this. I don't know what you thought about this, Mike. I mean, you know, it's wishy-washy to me.
I mean, I gave it – I thought the match itself was a little bit better than the week before. But they need to move on from this Kelly Kelly thing. I love Kelly Kelly, but they really need to move on and just, as they say, shit or get off the pot. Just do something with it. And it's been dragging out, what, now 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah, almost like a month and a half, really.
Yeah, so they need to do something.
So then Knox slams Punk into the ring post. CM Punk gets flung into the turnbuckle. A Boston Crab to Punk from Knox. A dropkick to Knox. CM Punk does a suicide dive through the ropes onto Knox. Punk gets a flying elbow for a two count. A bulldog to Knox. The Uranagi into the Anaconda Vice Grip. CM Punk wins. I win a star and a quarter. I really like that suicide dive through the middle rope. And Mike Knox, I think, had a little bit more counter and like trying to like really impress like the strength to CM Punk.
See, I gave this one 2 stars. I thought it was a little bit better than the week before. You know, there was some good moves, but it didn't a little bit. And I think it was the time. I mean, it went a little bit longer, so I think that helped it.
Yeah, they gave this one more time than they did the previous week. So then we get a Matt Stryker backstage segment. He makes fun of England's empire getting vanquished by America, so that gets some boos. Then we get an Elimination Chamber video package. I still think the Survivor Series 02 match is the best out of the ones that we've seen already.
Mm-hmm.
Then CM Punk welcomes Bobby Lashley to ECW, says it's every man for himself in the Elimination Chamber. So I think CM Punk is trying to push that he's going to win at December to Dismember. Then we get Daivari versus Tommy Dreamer. Daivari takes out Tommy Dreamer's knees. Daivari is hurdled by Tommy Dreamer. Daivari takes out Tommy Dreamer's knees again. So Daivari's playing the heel tactics of cheap-shotting all of Tommy's injury prones. Like, they know that Tommy Dreamer has weak knees from his previous encounters in ECW. His knees are probably shot. So Daivari misses a crossbody, and like Dreamer's about to get get his big like comeback, but then the Great Khali pulls Tommy Dreamer into the turnbuckle and just gives him a low blow. So Tommy Dreamer wins by disqualification. I went a quarter star, Mike.
You're lucky. I went dud. It was awful. There's nothing to say. It was bad.
It was just here. It was just there, you know.
You're not even highlighting anything, really, in my opinion. But
I think you're just highlighting that, like, you know, that the great. I mean, you can call for what it is, but like the Great Khali is a force to not be reckoned with.
But I don't know. You're trying to build the brand. It's still only an hour long. Not this time right now.
No. Do you think it may be time for like ECW to get 2 hours? I mean, I don't know if they ever actually get 2 hours, but you know, like, do you think Sci-Fi would have said, hey, we'll give you an extra hour, give us something?
Yeah, I think it really would have more benefited for 2 hours, because everything just goes too fast. Like, you just, that's just my opinion. I just think it's just too much, or like not enough time. It's
Sunday Night Heat, basically.
Yeah.
Without the Raw recap.
Yeah, and you just can't establish anything.
No, you can't put it all in 1 hour. So now we have Bobby Lashley versus Hardcore Holly. Paul Heyman's alliance looks on, so it's Big Show, Test and the Riot Squad. They look on as Hardcore Holly takes on Bobby Lashley. I don't like them cutting to commercial as Hardcore Holly entered the ring, because we don't know how the match really starts. We only have to pick up from the commercial. So I have a clothesline in the corner to Hardcore and a standing suplex. Hardcore Holly slams Bobby Lashley head first into the steel steps. That looked a little brutal, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think it didn't look like he got his hands up quick enough.
No. Lashley misses an elbow, a scoop slam by Hardcore Holly. I called it a muscle breaker, and I think that's what it was. Like, he has him in, like, the torture rack and just slams him. I call it a muscle breaker by Lashley. A superplex by Hardcore Holly. Lashley hits Hardcore with a Dominator, but then the Big Show pulls the ref out for a DQ. Test hits Lashley with a big boot. They work on Lashley until CM Punk and Sabu come out to clean house. Then RVD comes out, and he just throws a chair at Hardcore Holly's face. And then Bobby Lashley spears both of the Riot Squad members. So RVD and Bobby Lashley are standing tall. As we see, you know, all the Elimination Chamber combatants going at it with the good guys versus the bad guys thing. Like, I thought it was cool that, you know, Sabu and CM Punk came out to help Bobby out. And yeah. I gave it a star. I liked the match. I didn't like that there wasn't a finish, but I liked the ending nonsense of you know, all the hoopla at the end.
I mean, I gave the match 1.5 stars. It wasn't that bad, but Lashley's still learning. But I just think, although at first it looked like that they could have been really good together, but I think their styles just clashed. And, you know, the whole show itself, 1.5 stars. I mean, we'll get more into it next week, but we'll see. Hopefully things start to change, because I don't know, the last 2 weeks, the 4 shows have been, you know, up and down.
Yeah, especially with the whole CM Punk and, like, Mike Knox stuff. And then, you know, you're just putting RVD with the Big Show for, like, the whole month.
Yeah, so it's just tough. You know, we'll see how, you know, the pay-per-view goes and everything like that.
Yep. So, Mike, before we wrap up on Extreme Resurrection, do you have anything that you want to plug?
Just want to go that we are having our annual pay-per-view pick-ems. We just did January. You can enter any time. It's $15 for the full year. We give prizes every month. And, you know, it puts a little something on watching all the pay-per-views. But come and join anytime.
Yes, thank you, Mike. I enjoy doing the picks as well. My Royal Rumble picks didn't go as planned, so I had some good, some bad, and some downright ugly. As for me, you can find me also on here on the Extreme Resurrection podcast and on the North-South Connection podcast. I'm going to be doing a WCW Must Die episode with Johnny C. We're going to be covering Slamboree 2000. The main event is that triple cage match between Diamond Dallas Page, Jeff Jarrett, and David Arquette, who was the World Heavyweight Champion at the time. And also on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we're going to have a new Making Mount Rushmore Wrestling edition to drop on Valentine's Day. Best couples and best betrayals in pro wrestling. So look for that as that drops as well. So that's going to do it from us here tonight on Extreme Resurrection. I'm James Gruenberg. He's Michael Cook, and we will see you next time.
I heard you've been looking looking for me, but you look for trouble. You're gonna see that your words are dangerous, your talk is cheap. So now I'm standing here, now I'm standing here.